welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Now come on and put your hands together and thank God for her. She is a jewel and a beautiful flower in the garden of God. If Stevie Wonder were here, he would raise the question, isn't she lovely? And not only is she lovely on the outside, but she's lovely on the inside. If my grandmother were here, she would say beauty is as beauty does. And all of us know someone, we may not want to admit it, but they're beautiful on the outside. But when we get to know them or spend time with them, we realize that it's not the same. But such is not the testimony for her. The beauty that we see on the outside exudes from the beauty on the inside. And I so thank God for her, and I thank God to be able to call her a friend. She is just an awesome woman of God. And to Deacon Nix and Trustee Pelzer, we thank God for you in this transition process, for your leadership, and to the women in which we are here to celebrate on today. I wish that you could see what I see as I look out into the sea of beauty and diversity and look at the wonderful ways that God has made us, both fearfully and wonderfully. Some of us are light and lively. Some of us are dark and lovely. Some of us have natural hair. Some of us put wigs on today. Some of us wear weaves. Some of us have permed hair. But somebody say it's all good. It's all good. When God made you, he made his best work. He put his best in you. You are made, again, both fearfully and wonderfully in his image and in his likeness. Somebody say it's all good. It's all good. And to the men, we love you today, but today is our day. And we'll let you come back and join in on next week, but this is our day. My father were here, he would say to Lottie Dottie and everybody, that way I won't forget nobody. There is a word from the Lord. Somebody say there's a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you would meet me really where we began in worship on today in the 27th Psalm, a Psalm of David, Psalm 27. And we'll hang our hats at just one verse, verse 14, Psalm 27 and verse 14. In that verse, if you have your Bibles, you'll find these words. David simply says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. He said, in case you missed it the first time, I'll end where I began. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, have strength in the face of fear and doubt, knowing then, once you do your part, that God will do his part. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us bow our hands as we hold the hand of our neighbor and prepare to go to God in prayer. Even if you have to stretch across the aisle, let us let no hand go untouched. Father, we do thank you for both your grace and your mercy. We thank you also, God, for bringing us to this point in time in our lives. But no matter what it looks like, God, we do know it's going to get better. For your word reminds us in Ecclesiastes that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. We thank you also, God, for bringing us to this preaching moment. I need you, God. I need your favor, your power, your strength, and your anointing. Not for my name's sake, but for your name's sake and for the sake of your people, oh God. We ask that you would not allow anyone to leave without first hearing from you. We ask, God, that you would allow this word to go forth with both clarity and conviction, with both power and purpose. We do thank you, God, for the ways in which we will be different as a result of hearing from you on today. We ask, God, that you would speak in such a way that even the youngest ear will hear and understand. We thank you, God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on everyone under the sound of my voice. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Let us all say amen. 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 Loose those hands and just thank God in advance for what he's going to say to you. Through the word on today as we talk from the title, The Weight of the weight, the W-E-I-G-H-T of the W-A-I-T. As children of God, we know that God can and we believe that he will, but there are seasons in our lives where we have to wait between the asking of the prayer and the answering of the prayer. And in those times, we know that God never wastes our wait, because in those seasons, God has to work some things out in us. He has to shave some things off of us and place some things inside of us to prepare. And in those in-between seasons, we begin to feel the weight, the W-E-I-G-H-T of the W-A-I-T. Because you see, waiting is not something that comes naturally for us as human beings. I do believe that we get better at it, but Reverend Campbell, it's not something that we ever truly master. And even the most patient of persons gets tired of waiting from time to time. If you think about it, fast food restaurants are exceeding their annual budgets because we don't want to take the time to prepare a meal and wait for it to cook. Internet shopping is reaching an all-time high because we don't want to take the time to drive to the store to wait in line to make a purchase. Now, thanks to modern technology, after a few clicks, we can be off to the next thing on our to-do list. Police officers are meeting their monthly quotas because we don't like waiting at red lights and stopping at stop signs. We live now in a culture that is allergic to waiting. We no longer wait for the 9 months that it takes for a woman to nurture a baby to find out the sex of a baby. Thanks again to modern technology, we now invade the womb of a woman to find out the sex of the baby long before the baby is even born. We hate to wait, we hate to wait, we hate to wait because we live in a result-oriented, fast-paced society. We now, Linda, live in a world that's more concerned with what we're doing than how we're doing. We are in a place where we feel the pressure to perform and to be what is perceived as our best. When we run into people that we haven't seen in a long time, we start going back in the archives of our mind to find some of the great things that we could have done in order to share with them. We now live in a digital age. We live in the world of digital cameras, and we want to take pictures and get the results right away. And if we don't get the results that we want to get, we want to delete the picture and take it over and over again. But life doesn't always work like that. We don't always get fast results with things. We now live in a digital age, but I grew up in the development age. You all remember the 24 and the 36 millimeter cameras, the cameras where you had to go to the store to buy the film. You had to put it in the camera, finish the roll, take it back to the camera shop to wait for it to be developed in order to get the final result. We hate to wait because we're spoiled. As babies, we begin to pout and cry when we're discomforted. And if we're honest, some of us never lose that. And I even say, as the mother of a 2- and a 3-year-old, my children, they've got it down to a science. I get the slow and whiny cry when they're sleepy, the loud and screeching cry when they're hungry, and that never-ending cry when they just want a little bit of attention. And as I said, some of us as adults, we never lose that. And we begin to pout when we don't have our way. We begin to stop showing up in worship. We stop giving God the praise that is due his name. We start withholding our tithes and our offerings. And we may not have the boldness to admit it, but we start living living in a place of silent rebellion when we don't get our way, when God doesn't come through, when we expect him to come through, and how we want him to come through. But as I said, some of us never lose that trait. But if you grew up with a mother of color like me, I didn't grow up in this time out generation. I didn't grow up in this wait until we get home generation. I grew up with a mother that constantly reminded me where you showed out, that's where you gonna get paid out. My mother would let me know that if you decided to show out in the supermarket, that I'm gonna take care of you in the supermarket. If you decided to show out in church, I'm not gonna take you out of church. I'm gonna take care of you right in church. And so my mother, I believe, was teaching me a valuable lesson at a young age. My mother was teaching me that life wasn't going to always work the way I wanted it to work, when I wanted it to work, and how I wanted it to work. So she was teaching me then how to learn how to wait, how to not just wait, but to be mindful of my attitude in the waiting. And although we live in a society that has a cultural aversion to waiting, we have to wait. And we have to wait because God wants to develop some things in us. And to develop means to bring out the capabilities or possibilities of, to bring to a more advanced or effective state. And although, again, we live in a digital age, we live in the fast age, I believe that some things are best developed in the dark. Some things are best developed over time. The film that I talked about before had to go through a process. It had to be developed in the dark. And if you look at digital pictures and you look at pictures that are developed, we get better quality from the pictures that were developing in the dark. Somebody knows what I'm talking about on today. We have to wait because God wants to develop some things inside of us. And one of the first things that God wants to develop inside of us is character. Somebody say character. The question that I ask on today is, who are you when nobody's watching? Yes, it's easy to lift up holy hands in worship amongst the assembly of the righteous. Yes, it's easy to belt out "It Is Well." It's easy to sing "I Believe God" when you're amongst the saints, because we've got the church sway and the church shout and the hallelujah, too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. We've got all the church lingo down pat in public. But are you still singing "It Is Well" in the midnight hour when the devil is playing with your mind and making you feel like God has forgotten about you and God does not hear your prayers? Are you crying yourself to sleep at night? Are you staying awake at night when the scripture clearly tells us that it's not for us to stay up and eat the bread of sorrow, but that God has given his dear children rest? Are you doing the same thing in private? Are you being the same person in private that you are in public? And then God wants to also develop the word in us. Somebody say the word. God wants to develop the word inside of us. I believe that Donald Lawrence put it this way. He said, "Let the word do the work." There are some situations in our lives that we face that our mere words won't help us out of. There are some situations in our lives that simple encouragement from somebody else won't help us through. We've got to learn how to be like Jesus when he was tempted by Satan. We've got to learn how to look at our situations and say, "It is written." We've got to learn how to stand on the word of God. The hymn writer says, "When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, it's by the living word of God that I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God." We've got to learn how to speak the word in our lives, because there are some situations that we don't know how they're going to work out. But we've got to be able to say, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. We got to begin to confess that there's nothing too hard for God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I know what the doctor said, but this sickness is not unto death, but it has come to bring glory to God. We've got to learn how to stand on the word of God when we don't have anything else to stand on. There have been situations in my life where I have literally put my Bible on the floor and I've stood on the Bible and I say, God, I don't have anything else to stand on, so I'm standing on your word. And then God wants to develop a sense of consistency. Somebody say consistency. Reverend Carmina, I've been in the church long enough to know that we've got too many schizophrenic saints. Some people, you know what they're going through or where they are in their lives when you encounter them. Some people you only see in worship when they need God. Amen. And when everything else is going well, they put God on the shelf and you don't see him anymore until they need God anymore. Or when things are going good, they're in church and they're lifting up their hands and they're praising God, and as soon as hell and high water start coming, they're nowhere to be found, and they allow external circumstances to determine their internal worship and praise, or they allow what's going on outside of their lives to determine how they are going to respond in their lives. But we've got to learn how to have the spirit of David on us, and we've got to learn how to say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You got to learn how to have an attitude of praise and a trust that's so strong that people don't know what's going on in your life. They don't know if it's good time or bad, because your praise is not determined, and the temperature of your praise and your worship is not determined by what you're going through. If all your bills are paid, I will bless the Lord. And if the bills are stacking up, I will bless the Lord. If everything is going good, I will bless the Lord. If everything is falling apart, I will bless the Lord. No matter what is going on, I'm going to give a good God a good praise, and I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm going to be like Habakkuk, though there be no fruit on the vine, I will still bless the Lord. So no matter what is going on in my life, and I say that anybody can praise God because of, anybody can praise God when the sun is shining and all the lights are green, but it takes a mature believer that when you ain't got no reason to give God praise, that you're going to say, God, if I got life, then I will bless you. If it was not fatal, then that means that it is not final, and God can use it to be fruitful. So I don't see how this is going to work out, but I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to worship you. I may not see the provision, but you are still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. I may not see the healing, but you are still the Lord God, my healer. And if nothing else, you are the Lord God of my peace, because everything around me tells me that I should be losing my mind. People are looking around wondering why I ain't going crazy. And you may even be wondering yourself, but you know that you got the spirit of consistency on you, and no matter what comes, nothing will shake you from your fortified faith. Thank God wants to develop a prayer life in us. As some of us treat God like a spiritual Santa Claus. And we start writing out our list, waiting for things to show up at our doorstep. We start treating God like an ecclesiastical bellhop or a spiritual slot machine. And we feel like we put a little prayer out and get a put a little prayer in and get a little blessing out. But God wants to develop a prayer life in us. God wants us to realize that prayer is more than just asking God for something. Prayer is more than just getting from God something. But as you mature in Christ, you realize that prayer is not just communication, but prayer is communion. And prayer is so deep when you're in intimate relationship and fellowship with God that there are moments that you come to a place in your prayer life that you can say, God, I don't want to ask you for anything, but God, I just want to thank you for everything. God, I want to thank you that I did not lose my mind. I thank you that I did not lose my way. I thank you that when the enemy thought he had me, that you came and grabbed me. God, I realize that I can bring my burdens to you, and I realize I can bring my brokenness to you, but God, I just want to fall on my knees today and bring my blessings to you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I just couldn't thank you enough. And some of us get so bogged down with everyday life that we forget what God has done for us and what God is doing right now, and we start asking for things in the future, and we start getting consumed with things we need. But sometimes we just need to rest in the here and now and look at the things that we do have, and also thank God for the things that we thought we needed that we realized that we didn't need. Because sometimes God will allow people to walk away from you just to help you see and start singing like the old saints, I can depend on God. I thought I needed to depend on you, and I thought I could count on you, but I realized that when I ain't got nobody else, when it's just me and God, that's enough. And somebody realizes on today that prayer is not just communication, as I said, but it's communion. And sometimes when you don't even know the words to pray, sometimes when you don't even want to pray, God will hear your spirit. God will hear your tears, and he'll answer them as well. Somebody said, Lord, help my prayer life. Lord, help my prayer life. Then God, thank you, Jesus. Then God wants to develop a testimony in us. I don't know about you, but I've come to a place in my life where I realize that I don't want to live in life in such a way that I can only get the credit for what I've done. I want to live a life in such a way that I can give a testimony of the things of God in my life. I want to be able to give a testimony of what I know I could not do myself. I could not take credit for myself. I don't want to live in my own power and in my own strength. I want to live in such a way that my prayer and my testimony is like the psalmist. It is the Lord's doing, and it is simply marvelous in my sight. You know, I'm a church baby. And no matter how much y'all get on my nerves, I still love y'all. Because you know church people can get on your nerves. But I love church people, and I love to be loved by church people. And I love modern church, but I also love just good old-fashioned church. You know them churches where the carpet is tore up and the piano is off key and the organ don't work right and all those kind of things. And then you have those testimony services. And you know, some people, when they get up to share their testimony, really it ain't nothing about God. And they just want to get up and brag on themselves. And they ain't helping nobody in the process. But then you know that there are people that get up and they start sharing their testimonies, and it starts encouraging you in the process, and you hear in their voice that you know that they've been through something. And when they say that the Lord will make a way somehow, that you know that they've been through something and the Lord made a way somehow, and you know that the Lord made a way when there was no way. And I remember that I went on a church trip, and we went to North Carolina, and we went to this church, and this old church mother, she was about 91 years old, and she stood up to share her testimony, and she talked about how 5 years prior she had been diagnosed with cancer, and she talked about how the doctor had only given her about 2 years to live, and 5 years later, really, her testimony could have ended right there, but she continued on in the telling of her testimony, and she talked about at 91 years old how she was still in her right mind, and how, as the old saint said, she had a reasonable portion of health and strength, and she was able to still live on her own and go back to see the doctor that told her that she only had 2 years to live. And at the end of her testimony, she said something that really struck me. She said, it could have been the other way, but God just be so good. And while that would have caused my English teacher to cringe, and it wasn't quite grammatical English, I began to look back in my own life and realize how it could have been the other way. But God just be so good. And I believe I'm not the only one in the house on today that's had a shift in their perspective. And you realize that it could have been the other way, but God just be so good. Somebody gave up on you and they thought that you were down for the count, and you say it could have been the other way, but God just be so good. You may have been like that church mother that the doctor had given up on you, and you realize that it could have been the other way, but God just be so good. That bill that you didn't know how you were going to pay, and God may not have given you the money to pay the bill, but he touched the heart of Pico, or he touched the heart of PGW to keep them from turning your power and your gas off. And you can say it could have been the other way, but God just be so good. And I believe I want to share with you another story. There was a therapist that went, and she was charged with sharing with a young lady that her leg had been amputated. The young lady, as she thought, didn't know that her leg had been amputated. And she was running through her mind how she was going to share with this young lady about how life would be, as she helped to prepare her as a therapist for life moving forward. And she walked in the room, in the hospital room, as she was still scratching her head, wondering how she was going to share with the woman. But before she even opened her mouth, the young lady began to proclaim, "I got enough left. I got enough left." She said, "I got enough leg left that I can get in. I can get a prosthesis. I got enough leg left that I can walk again." And I believe that somebody's got this testimony in the house. And you can say, "I got enough left. Even with what I lost, I'm not going to focus on what I lost, but I'm going to focus on what I got left. And I got enough left to praise God. I got enough left to worship God. I got enough left to trust God. I got enough left to wait on God. I got enough left to believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." If you know that you got enough left, come on and lift up your hands with what you got left. Don't look at what you lost. Don't look at what you had to leave behind. Don't look at what you thought you needed, but look at what you got left. And with what you got left, give God your best praise. With what you got left, give God your best worship. With what you got left, give God your best strength. Come on and give God a praise in the house. Come on and give God a praise in the house. I hear the Lord so clearly saying the answer to your prayer is in your praise. You've been strategizing and trying to figure it out and trying to make 1 + 1 = 2. But your answer to your prayer is couched in your praise. So if you've got a prayer that is yet unanswered, if you got a direction that you need from God, if you know that you've got to stand still and not move until you know what God is saying, come on and give God a praise. Come on and give God a praise. Come on and clap your hands and give God a praise. Come on and go a little deeper. Come on and go a little deeper. Come on and give God your best praise. Don't look at who's next to you. Don't focus on your situation. Put everything that you brought with you in the back of your mind and only put God in the front of your mind. Look at what God has done for you before. And as we said earlier, it may be a different situation, but it's the same God. And he's got the same power. He's got the same strength. He's got the same ability. And you better give him a praise like your life depended on it. Come on and give God a praise. Come on and give God a hallelujah. Come on and give God a hallelujah. You've been through too much not to praise him. You've been through too much not to worship him. You know, some people went through what you went through and they lost their minds. Some people went through what you went through and they took their lives. Some people went through what you went through and they're dependent upon medication. Some people went through what you went through and they're locked in an insane asylum, walking around not knowing their names. And you can give God a praise that says, I don't look like what I've been through. I've been through the fire, but I did not get burned. I've been through the flood, but I did not drown. And for that, I'm going to show my appreciation to God, and I'm going to give him my best praise. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on and say it like you mean it. My hallelujah belongs to him because he deserves it. You've been through too much not to give him praise. Somebody just take a moment and look back in your own life. Those things you ain't want to tell nobody about. And you can say like that old church mother, it could have been another way. But God just be so good. Somebody knows that God just be so good. God is a sustainer. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. He's a wonder in my soul. Yes, he is. Some of us are in what we feel like a fight for our lives. And nobody knows what we're going through. But God has given us the strength to wait on him. David, before he spoke in verse 14, in verse 13, he said, I would have fainted. I would have lost heart. I would have given up, lest I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David says, when I tell you to wait, I know what I'm talking about. I can tell you to wait because I waited on God. David had to wait through doubt. David had to wait through disappointment. David had to wait through discouragement and delay. But David said, when you serve God, it can only work out for your good. And when you wait on God, you're not marking time. You're not losing time. You're not waiting in vain. We serve a God that will always make it worth the wait. That's why we can't afford to jump ahead of God. That's why we can't move according to our own logic and what makes sense for us or even listen to somebody else. Because somebody will advise you out of what God spoke to you based on their own experience and limitations. Because we serve a God that most times won't make sense. You can't understand God through the lens, thank you, Holy Ghost, of human reason. Sometimes in our flesh, we're tempted to jump ship. And we're only ultimately cheating ourselves out of the blessing of God. Because God's got to get you ready. Because there's a time between the asking and the receiving for a reason. Because just as with a baby, there is an appointed time for the baby to be birthed. And it's not good, it's not healthy for the baby to come ahead of time. And you don't want to ask for something and get it as soon as you ask for it and not be able to enjoy it or lose it because it comes too soon. So between the asking or the showing and the receiving, somebody say it's a process. But there's a purpose in the process. And you got to know, I believe like Joseph, you got to know that you've got too much purpose to panic. So I'm not going to get my nerves all frayed. I'm not going to allow my heart to live in anxiety. I'm going to rest in the peace and the possibilities of the God that I serve. Somebody say, because he's able. One more time, just give God your worship. Not just with the clapping of your hands, but with the fruit of your lips. Come on and give God your worship. Come on and speak well of God. Come on and remind yourself of what he's done for you in the past, how he's made ways for you in the past, and that same God will bring you through today. Somebody say, God, I thank you that you are my peace. God, I thank you that you are my strength. God, I thank you that you are a bridge over troubled water, a shelter in the time of storm. God, I thank you that you're a wheel in the middle of a wheel. God, whatever I need you to be. The presence of a prayer answering God is in this place on today. The presence of a miracle working God is in this house on today. The presence of a yoke breaking God is in the sanctuary. Just take a moment and honor him. Take a moment and reverence him. Father, we thank you for your word on today. We thank you for the ways in which it cut us, it convicted us, it comforted us, and it challenged us. Thank you, God, for reminding us to wait on you. Thank you, Jesus. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we trust in the Lord our God. Thank you for renewing our strength on today. Thank you for allowing us to mount up with wings as eagles. Thank you for allowing us to walk and not get weary and to run and not faint. God, we don't want to live for you and not have anything to say about you. So God, we thank you for what you're developing inside of us, how you're making us better. And how you're birthing a testimony, not just for us, but for others to be blessed. And how others will be encouraged by the telling of our story. As the psalmist says, if we declare and speak of your goodness, it is more than can be numbered. Big Mama would put it this way, he's done so much for me that I just can't tell it all. But Father, we thank you for giving us space to tell that which it is for us to tell. Amen. And encouraging others in the process. Amen. We bless your holy name today, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you Hallelujah and amen. Come on, one more time, just give God a praise. Come on, one more time, just give God a praise.